is the key verse of the Colossian epistle. And if that is so, if the Lord Jesus is given the first place, it simply means this. In everything, he must be number one. That's all that means. And it's a very, very important text. Number one in everything for the believer. And if he is, then of course he can be said to be the Lord of our lives. Now people call him Lord who are perhaps not living a very good Christian life. And it is said in the Gospels, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does my will and who actually believes that I am Lord of his life shall enter the kingdom of heaven. God expects us to not only call Jesus Lord, but to make him Lord of our experiences. There is a day coming, we read in Philippians, when every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God has determined that Christ shall be exalted by all his creatures. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but they are going to call him Lord, own him as Lord in the coming day. So, everyone will own the Lordship of Christ, but those who do it in this life, before they die, or before the Lord Jesus comes for his own, through that they find salvation. Those who neglect or reject that, they will still call him Lord, own him as Lord of all, although not their own Lord, of course, but I'm afraid that will not be to their salvation. That will be to their damnation. Now this is the day of grace. Men and women can be saved. And it says in Romans 9, as if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, or the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he's alive, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I like to believe, I like to agree with the school of believers who think that it's not enough to look to Jesus. It's not enough to invite Jesus into your heart. It'd be all right for little children at the beginning of their experience to be confirmed later on in a more intelligent way. But I don't think it's enough, and sometimes our way of leading people to Christ is not quite enough, not sufficient. And the text plainly says here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. First of all, I think it means that people who own Jesus as their Saviour and believe that he saved them from the eternal separation of hell itself, the least you can expect of such people is they make the Lord Jesus the authoritative one that is Lord in their personal experiences. There are some who will strongly say that you can't be saved unless you openly, outwardly confess Jesus as your Lord as well as your own Saviour. We won't go into our argument this evening, but I think there is something in it. Now to call Jesus Lord is orthodoxy. And to call Jesus Lord, Lord is piety. But to call Jesus Lord and do not the things that he says is hypocrisy. So we have to be very careful in calling Jesus Lord. This means, of course, if we own him as Lord, that we are to do his will. And we are to study his word and find out what his will for us is and keep to that quite rigidly. Now, the word Lord is kurios in the Greek, and it simply means in English, one having authority. Now this word, kurios, is used three times, or rather in three ways in the New Testament. And first of all, it's in relation to a master and his slave. The master is the lord of the slaves. He has authority over his slaves. And he says to one, do this, and he does it. Another one, do that, and he does it. And he is their lord and master. And in another case, it's of a man having some possession. And he can do what he will with his possessions. They are his. He is lord and master over his own. It's used in connection with a king and his subjects. He orders his subjects or his soldiers or anybody in his realm to do certain things and they do them. He is their lord and king, you see. Now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has become our Lord as well as our Savior. He has saved us from the everlasting burnings of a lost eternity. And the very least that we can do is to do his will. Own him as Lord. Call him Lord and do his bidding every time. On one occasion, Peter said, "No, Lord." On five occasions in the New Testament, there are other people who said, "Yes, Lord." I'm suggesting to you that Peter was very, very wrong. Although he became a great apostle indeed, very wrong at this time. You can't say, "No, Lord," or "Not so, Lord." It's a contradiction of terms. If you own Jesus as Lord, you've got to do what he says. That's the whole import of the meaning of the word. So Peter, you remember, was shown in his vision a sheet full of all kinds of living creatures, and he was told, the voice said, "Rise, Peter, slay, and eat some of them." And he took one look, noticed that some of these creatures to him as a Jew were unclean, and he said, "No, Lord, not me, not so, Lord. Not on your life, Lord," I think he was saying, something like that. You can't do that. If you say no, you mustn't add the word Lord. They don't go together. If you say Lord, you've got to say yes, Lord. Do you understand me? That's very simple. Five times they said yes, Lord. And Martha and Mary were in great trouble. And Jesus spoke to them about the fact that he was the resurrection and the life. And he said, "Do you believe what I'm telling you?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Rightly so. And remember the two blind men who came to the Lord Jesus, who were following him in the crowd? And they asked that they might receive their sight. And he said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" I love that song tonight, "I am able." And "I am that I am, and I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. I am the water of life. I am everything," said the Lord Jesus. And he was too. And yet, the NIV version of the Bible in Philippians 2 says, "He made himself nothing." Nothing is further from the truth than that. He wasn't nothing. He was everything. He was the Son of God with power. And there's about 185 titles that the Lord Jesus has used about him while he was here upon earth. How could he have been nothing when he was everything? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That was a terrible faux pas when they put that in. He made himself nothing. He made himself of no reputation, says the Authorized Version. And other versions have it right as well. He emptied himself of his rights as God the Son and came to this earth. And now and again he showed that he still possessed almighty power and full insight. He was omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent too. He said once, even the Son of Man, talking about himself, who is in heaven, and he was on earth when he said it. You see, in spirit, he was everywhere, and he was everything. Impossible that he should be nothing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. All he ever was, he was when he was on earth, and he is today. Thank God for a Savior who is so almighty and so all-knowing. So Peter said, not yes, Lord, but no, Lord. And he had to learn that you couldn't put those two words together. Now, Graham Scroggie, who I used to know in my younger days, a great man of God, he was the minister of Charlotte Street Baptist Church in Edinburgh, but as is usual the case, he's brought up in the Brethren, and is a great man of God. Everybody respected him. And he was preaching in Charlotte Chapel upon the Lordship of Christ. And there was a young lady who was greatly moved through the address. When the others went home, she stayed in her pew with her Bible open. And Dr. Scroggie eventually got to her and asked her if he could help in any way. And apparently she was weeping over this verse. What Peter said, not so, Lord. And Scroggie had explained that you couldn't say that. Peter attempted to, but it wasn't right. You must say yes, Lord, or just no. So he wrote it out for this girl. She was troubled about something. I think it was boyfriend trouble. Very often is, you know. And maybe she was being courted by an unsaved man. And that spells trouble for the believer every time. However, he wrote the text out for her, not so, Lord. And he left a piece of paper with the text on it for her, and he said, now I'll be back in 10 minutes' time, and I'm going to pray for you in my study. But he said, I think you'll either have to cross out the not so, and just say to the Lord, Lord, or else you'll have to cross out the Lord if you're going to say not so. If you're not going to let the Lord have his way, if you're not going to do his will in your life, then you've got to cross out Lord. And she fought the battle, and when he came back, she just won the victory. The paper was tear-stained, but she was smiling. She had underlined the word Lord 3 times and crossed out not so. You can't say no, Lord, you have to say yes to the Lord. If the Lord Jesus is really your Lord as well as your Savior. Now you can be a Christian without being a disciple. Did you know that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And another gospel it says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now if people don't hear the commands of the Lord Jesus and obey them, follow him into rejection, be despised as he was, they can still be Christians, but they won't be disciples unless they do the Lord's will and follow him all the way. You can own Jesus as Savior, and yet he need not be the Lord of your life. And I think we ought to examine our hearts before the Lord Jesus tonight in the presence of his Holy Spirit in this chapel and ask ourselves, can I really honestly call Jesus my Lord and Savior? Am I a am I a disciple of Christ, or am I just a professing Christian? You can trust Christ as an insurance against hell. You can ask Him to save you from your sins by His precious blood, and He will do that. And His work on the cross is enough for that. But you can know Him as your Savior without knowing Him as the indwelling life of your life, without knowing Him as your Lord. So Christ gives Himself to us tonight afresh to make Himself real to us by His Spirit within us. He wants us to acknowledge His presence, to understand His word, to look to Him for grace to do His will so that He can be the Lord of our lives. On occasions like this, a week of spiritual emphasis, we do not particularly preach the gospel, although on Sunday we shall be, to some extent, preaching the gospel, and we always bring a little bit of that in. I think it does give Christian people, we who are Christians, an opportunity of coming to a spiritual decision in our lives, a spiritual crisis, so to speak, to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Maybe we've never done that before. When the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, He appeared unto His own in another form. Has the Lord Jesus never appeared unto you in another form? Is He just the Christ of Calvary to you? You know Jesus as your Savior in that form. You know He presents Himself to us in another form, as the very life of our life, by His Spirit who dwells in us. Tonight He is presenting Himself to us in another form, as the authoritative one, the one who has all authority, as He said Himself, in heaven and in earth. Now, He's using His authority in heaven now. And all the hosts of heaven worship Him. And He has power and authority there. He's the master of the house, He is called. When once the master of the house rises up, He's going to shut to the door of grace and mercy and come for His own. And there will be no chance, as we were saying previously, for those who die without Christ or are without Christ when He comes again for His own. But the Lord Jesus not only wants to be the authoritative one in heaven and the authoritative one on earth, as He will be when Jesus reigns from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more, but He wants to be the authoritative one in your life and mine. Well, He died for us, you see. He died to buy us, to purchase us. We are not our own. We don't belong to our family. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Christ bought us for God, and it cost Him so much. With His own most precious blood, He died to purchase us. This was the ransom price He paid for our redemption. We are redeemed, set free from sin and its consequences through the payment that He made. We belong to Him. And if we belong to Him and He bought us for Himself, I suggest, which is necessary, it is the least we can do to make Him the Lord of our lives. As the hymn writer said, O Jesus, Lord and Saviour, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, O Lord, for Thee alone. It's my earnest prayer that we shall learn to become disciples of the Lord Jesus. Fruit-bearing disciples indeed. And that we shall learn to become, from this week onwards, not only children of God through faith in Jesus, but those who own Jesus as Lord of our lives. May God bless his word to us this evening. Let us sing two verses of a closing hymn.